That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had an amazing weekend. For all of our New York toasters, I hope everyone is doing well after, like, the tornado?
Question mark?
Like, with no warning. Like, the weather's always, like, 6 days, there's going to be a tornado. 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, they do weather on the ones. So it's, like, literally at 11:01, 11:11, 11:21, 11:31, they tell you the news. And, like, literally I'm watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last night, which I have many thoughts on. And literally, it's like, oh, there's a tornado. And I look outside and it's so loud. There's so much rain and so much wind. And I saw videos of, like, trash just being, like, swept around the city because of the wind. Like, it was so strong.
It's so crazy. I didn't get a warning. I didn't see a warning. I was just on my couch reading. And then I heard, like, buckets being, mm-hmm. like, sloshed against my window. And I was like, what in the world? And I went out to look. And it was, like,
it was craziness.
Insanity.
Craziness.
So I just was like, Bruno, I've got you.
You're
safe.
Pee in the kitchen.
It was a pee in the kitchen sort of day. Also, last you saw us, Bruno was on this show. I was so distracted because my sweets was here. And I loved having him here. I love that you guys all got to meet him. He probably won't come back for like 6 months because it was so distracting. Like, I couldn't give my best thoughts and opinions and jokes on the subject matter because I was like, is Bruno going to pee on my lap?
No, I literally remember like those days. And it's really traumatizing because you're a working mom now. And like, you want to be able, we have this, this is a child friendly.
It's a family friendly studio.
Workplace. And as much as like it makes your life so easy to bring him so you don't have to leave him, it actually makes your life so much harder.
No, it did not make my life easy whatsoever. And the time that I'm at the show is like great crate time for him and it gets him on a really good schedule for the rest of the day.
Yep.
So I'm glad you guys got to meet him. And you'll see, if you want to see him again, like check out my Instagram at Jackie O Problems or at Pups with No Job, where the content is premium.
Yeah, it's like actually really sad, but puppies do need a good amount of alone time. So they're not like super dependent on
you. In my Cavalier book that I was reading, it says that the puppy should sleep 18 hours a day. And you might feel like that's a lot, but that's what they need for their growth.
And it's a lot of change.
And I feel like I need to be sleeping 18 hours a day too.
No, I think I am sleeping 18 hours a day, so I feel like I'm right on track.
Yeah, you're right on track.
I want to talk a little bit about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, okay?
You watched, is there just a reboot?
Yes.
I can't keep up. Who hosts?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he is...
What qualifications?
No, I know. He's so awful. Like, I really dislike him. And I really feel like, similar to how I felt about David Letterman, which maybe was unpopular, I just feel like these kind of, like, straight white men, like, got famous in an era when, like, only straight white men were, like, getting famous and getting on TV. And it's like, now that we have the internet, it's, like, really proving, like, how unfunny they are because there's, like, just so many better people out there. And he was so bad and he was so chatty. And, like, literally, I watched probably the last 45 minutes. I missed, like, the first 15 minutes. Last 45 minutes, the show moves so quickly. I think I probably saw 6 trivia questions. Like, they talk so much. Like, she had the answer to this.
The show moves so slowly.
Yeah.
You said quickly.
Oh, sorry. Moves so quickly, I saw.
Slowly.
Oh, my God. Having a stroke. Like, literally. Moves so slowly. It was just infuriating. Like, literally, it's, like, one question and, like, Jimmy and the girl, like, we're talking about it for an hour. Like, it was so boring.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, this reminds me of my childhood.
No, literally. And the woman was, like, a American Sign Language interpreter. So, like, she was talking, like, about how maybe her knowledge of the signs, like, could help her with the answer. And it was just so slow. Like, it was torture. And I actually love game shows and I love trivia. Like, I love Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And the reboot is just fucking trash. Like,
I mean, everything about it sounds like trash.
Awful.
They should get a different host in there because it's actually such an amazing concept for a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it growing up and there are so many iconic moments. And I feel
remember
like
when that guy got caught cheating?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was researching it last night. Like, he had someone in the audience cough when he mentioned the right answer. So he's on the final answer, and it's like, it was actually really hard. It's like, what number represents, like, you know, 10 with 10 zeros or whatever? And it has, like, the name of the number. And it's a Google. And he was, like, reciting all the answers, and he was like, I definitely don't think it's a Google. And the guy coughed. And then he's like, wait, maybe it is. And the host was really confused. I think it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire UK. But it's actually really fascinating.
That is such a scandal.
Because he won $1 million. Yeah, and his wife was there, too. And it was, like, a whole coordinated thing.
Oh, my God. Honestly, that's, like, kind of brilliant. And yeah. The fact that they pulled it off, like, and won the game, like, they should keep the money. Like,
well, it reminded me of Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe it was based off of that.
It's an amazing movie.
Amazing movie.
Yeah.
Amazing movie. I totally agree. It was one of those movies that, like, I didn't see when it swept the Oscars. And I'm like, oh, Slumdog Millionaire is winning everything. And then I watched it. I'm like, oh, I understand why.
Oh, for me, it was, like, one of the first movies that I saw that was, like, of the Oscar season, like, and I saw it that year, and mm-hmm. I was like, well, it should win every category. It was the best movie. It's also the only
one you saw, and then you feel, like, so proud, and, like, you're literally, like, a cheerleader for just that movie. I've been there.
Yeah, but I feel like we still do that to this day.
100%. Except now, to this day, I've usually seen, like, of the top five or six movies, I've seen, like, three.
Yeah. And that's all you can hope from us.
No, 100%. But I actually feel like I learned a lot during my time on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It was just, like, random questions. Like, do you know what is featured on European currency?
On European mm-hmm. currency?
So I'll give you some of the...
Oh, yeah. Give me the four choices.
It was inventions.
Okay.
Architectural buildings.
Okay.
Like landscapes.
Okay.
And I forget. So
okay, so three. And it's all of Europe.
European banknotes.
European banknotes. Inventions. I would say the buildings.
Yeah.
And also I would say that because of the way, like, I just know your brain.
I know, I realized.
That you had to cover one first, like you weren't going to say the one that you knew.
That is exactly what I did.
And you sandwiched the answer in the middle.
Oh, shit.
And then you gave me another cover.
Am I so easy to read? That's exactly what I did. Wow, I'm shook. Yeah, so I didn't know that. So I was just, like, learning a lot last night.
That's,
you know,
really interesting. You're really educating yourself.
No, I know. And I'm real. And, like, so the first six questions are, like, really silly because it's, like, you went $50, $100, $200, up to $1,000. And they're kind of easy. And, like, I dead ass felt really stupid because I did not know one of them. Oh, and I was watching with Ben. You know, you really learn a lot about people when you watch trivia with them. Do you know Ben did not know who Amelia Earhart was?
Wow. And so where is Ben now?
Oh, he knows now. And he was like, oh, yeah, like,
is he familiar. Still in the home?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, I shamed him out of the house. I'm like, you don't know who Amelia Earhart is?
Take Theo for a walk.
But then in his defense, I didn't realize, I guess, I never put together that Adam's apple is actually, like, a biblical reference from Adam and Eve. Did you know that?
Oh, maybe if I had thought long and hard enough about it. But no, that's not what I would have thought of first.
Me neither. But it was like, which body part is from the Garden of Eden? Oh, I didn't ask. I had already shamed him into, like, silence.
That is so funny. Yeah, he's never going to answer a question again.
No, never. And I always find it interesting, like, Ben, and I'm actually the same way, too. Like, I lack so much basic knowledge, like, of, like, things, like, I guess everyone knows. And that was one of those things where I'm like, you don't know who Amelia Earhart is? I'm like, wow, you're dumb.
Yeah, you're worse than me.
Oh, totally.
Wow, okay. I'm loving this trivia journey for you.
I love trivia, and I want that to be, like, my thing. Like, oh, that girl, she's, like, so trivial.
Trivia queen.
Yeah, trivia
queen. She's so trivial. You yeah. don't want them to say that,
no,
about
I know,
you.
No, I know.
Great. Well, I had a really great weekend, like a really great mix of plans and no plans.
Balance.
I think that's what they would call balance. I read a very good book called Love Your Life by Sophie Kinsella, and I would recommend it to anyone who's just, like, needing a light pick-me-up, who hasn't mm-hmm. read, like, a book in a while. That was me. And it was just light and fun and made me laugh a number of times.
Oh, love to see it.
Kind of like Girl With No Job by Claudia Ash, right? That's how I would describe that book, too.
Yeah, no, me too, for sure. And while we're on the subject of books, I'm so glad you brought that up. Please head over to girlwithnojob.com/book or tap the link in my bio on my Instagram to pre-order my memoir, Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster, available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, IndieBound. The ebook is available for pre-order. The audiobook is available for pre-order. It comes out January 26, 2021. And you're like, Claudia, why are you talking about this in October? I just need good pre-sale numbers so I can get into airports. That's pretty much the only reason. So check it out, girlwithnojob.com/book. I would really appreciate, you know, any and all support.
Love to see it. We love to support you.
Thank you so much. I love to be supported.
Even though last night when we were FaceTiming, you almost lost me as a fan.
Yeah, well, Jackie quoted my special, and she just She used the quote wrong.
Claudia just like didn't find what I was saying applicable. And it's like, you're going to come for me for supporting you.
I wasn't necessarily coming for you. I was
just. You left me hanging.
I definitely left you hanging. But it was just because I was like so invested in The Crown, because that's what I did last night.
Oh, I haven't started The Crown yet. That's going to be my activity today. I was just like, I wasn't ready and I didn't want to rush it. It's like, I've been waiting so long for this. I'm not going to watch it hastily in the middle of a book.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my time with it. Like, Bruno's never seen The Crown, so I have to explain the backstory to him. And I'm so excited. That's going to be my afternoon today. Yeah. And I'm thrilled.
I'm only two episodes in. I'm so excited. I too am savoring it. I'm not trying to rush through it. But you know, I'm actually like not a big fan of like the Diana years in terms of just like the
pop
monarchy.
Pop culture.
And pop culture. Like, I think I might be alone and controversial in saying, like, I wasn't, like, a huge Diana fan. And I take the side of the monarchy, like, in the monarchy versus Diana. I think I just usually take the side of the monarchy.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to, like, how they portray her. Because it's one of two things. Like, was she, you know, sweet and innocent? Or was she, like, thirst monster general? Like, we'll see what they say. So I'm just looking forward. And, like, if you're a big Diana stan, like, you might not like what I have to say.
Well, let's see.
How it goes.
You'll watch it first.
But she is a carbon copy. The actress, it's crazy how much she looks like Diana. The hair is really triggering
for me. I've
seen
some of the photos. Oh, I'm sure. That's
why I don't like her.
That's why she doesn't like Diana.
It's literally like a bowl cut. It's so bad. She literally looks like she's like an eighth grader in the 80s. Like, I hate the haircut so much. But it, like, that's why I don't understand fashion, because not only is it so
that
ugly,
hair was like iconic.
It became the hairstyle, like, because of her. So maybe it's just like my, you know, lack of fashion sense, but it's one of the ugliest hairstyles I've ever seen in my life. And like, I can't understand it. Sorry.
Well, we appreciate your honesty.
She looks like a child. Like, she goes hunting with Philip and I'm like, that literally looks like Prince William, like when he was a kid. Like, that's literally the hairstyle he had. I mean, I'm so triggered by that hairstyle.
Oh, God. I hope you can enjoy the season nonetheless.
Yeah, no, I definitely will. It's just so good to have the game back together.
Oh, my God. I'm literally so excited. So we'll have a full recap when we'll finish it at the same time. We'll coordinate.
We'll finish it this week.
Yeah, we'll finish. Yeah, but like same day so that we can discuss it. Also, this is our last week of shows before Thanksgiving break. We're very excited. So that's just something exciting.
Usually this time of year we head out west for Thanksgiving, but you know, due to the pandemic, we'll not be there. So I am just going to spend more time in my bed, and I think that's great because I've actually really been missing my bed.
Yeah, and I think your bed has been missing you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
for sure.
So in addition to The Crown, I also watched Potomac last night, which will be in our TV recap segment.
As did I.
Also, I have a new episode of The Undoing to watch. I didn't watch it last night. It's weird for me to be back on a show that's episodic and like weekly.
Yeah.
It feels so unnatural, and like it's not enough for me to get by, but like everyone's talking about last night's episode. So before it gets spoiled for me, I just have to watch it when I get home today.
Got it. And I'm going to save it. I've come this far, like I'm going to keep waiting. I think I can avoid, no one's really like spoiling, and I still have no idea what it's about. Like literally no clue.
It's so good.
And I'm going to continue down that path because I just want to treat myself.
Okay.
So without further ado, I do believe that it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And yes. Yes.
You
didn't lie to our followers, our listeners.
By the way, I would never.
You would never. I would, though. But I'm not lying when I say that today's episode is brought to you by Cratejoy, the world's first and only subscription box marketplace where you can shop over thousands of unique boxes and gifts for just about anything you can imagine. Even better, you choose the subscription length so you're not locked into just anything. Cratejoy makes it easy to find that perfect gift for anyone and everyone in your life. The hardest part of buying gifts is getting something cool and unique, and Cratejoy does all that. With Cratejoy, you'll show you care with personalized gifts that keep giving long after the holidays are done. On Cratejoy, you guys can find categories that you'll love, like escape rooms and mystery boxes for adventures at home, boxes to boost each version of you with self-care and personal growth, cool cocktail kits and snacks for your next virtual happy hour, monthly book clubs in a box for every reader, and top DIY and craft kits for crafts of all ages, the whole family, the kids, the adults. Cratejoy is the best place to shop for gifts, and with the holidays right around the corner, it's hard to find great gifts for all the special people in your life during the holidays. A subscription box is the gift that keeps keeps on giving. So true.
So true.
You know, someone got Margot a subscription box. It was like a beauty one for her birthday like 2 years ago. And I thought it was the most creative gift.
It is.
And now
Crate Joy. It's a gift that keeps on giving because like the holidays are so exciting. You get your gifts. But like to be reminded of that exciting time every time your subscription
and
comes.
And the person. Like it's so warm.
It will carry you through the year.
If you're a people pleaser and like you really want to overachieve this year, Crate Joy is the thing for you. It's a subscription box is the gift that keeps on giving. Show how much you care long after the holidays. On Crate Joy, you can choose something unique, personalized, and memorable for everyone on your list. And if you're looking to give the perfect gift, or you just want to treat yourself, you can shop thousands of subscription boxes all in one place. And get 30% off your first box when you sign up at cratejoy.com/toast. That's right. Sign up today at cratejoy.com/toast to get 30% off your first box and early access to all of Crate Joy's holiday specials. Crate Joy. Get joy delivered right to your door.
Sign on, get joy. Also, that's a great point that you made. Like, yes, we should be getting gifts for everyone in our lives. It's the holidays, tis the season. But get a gift for yourself.
100%.
I think it's so important to get gifts for yourself. And Crate Joy is an amazing gift to get for yourself because you'll remember how much you love yourself every time your subscription comes.
And you know what? It's like, I have so many people in my life who love me, but who loves me more than me? Absolutely nobody.
No, and who knows what you want better than you?
Actually, I'm very indecisive. It's my Enneagram 3 thing. So actually,
I think I know what you want better than you.
1,000%. I just like say things and I forget, you know?
Yeah. I think we should normalize getting gifts for ourselves.
I think it's been normalized. I don't think you have to like champion that movement.
Sometimes you need a reminder.
Yes, a reminder for sure.
So I wonder what I'm going to get myself this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, I don't know, a jet.
Okay, first story, the big story from the weekend. Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis have ended their engagement after 7 years. Their children are the priority.
Wait, were they not married?
No, they were engaged for 7 years. It was the 7-year engagement.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's always, I didn't realize that beforehand, but that's always like a red flag.
Right, and not that there's anything wrong with not being married, but it's like if you're getting engaged, it's with the purpose of getting married.
Yeah, but you know what? Actually, I'm taking that statement back because now that I think about it, sometimes we talk about celebrities who probably like shouldn't get married for like legal and financial reasons, but they are life partners and, you know, you want to wear a ring.
Yeah.
So you get engaged, but then you don't get married.
Yeah, I guess like I think maybe now people who are just like permanently engaged, that's like the new like partnership, you know?
Yeah. And I actually see complete like the reason why you would do that. And
right.
So I take back what I said.
Okay.
I'm taking it back. The couple share two sons. I mean, they share a son, Otis Alexander, and a daughter, Daisy Josephine. And I just love those names.
Me too. I actually was really shocked by this. I just kind of, there's some people who are like so cemented in their relationship that like you legitimately forget about them.
No, you forget about them. Like their ships are out at sea, they're anchored, and they're not coming in and out of the port. You're not thinking about them. There's no real maintenance. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those ships, and the ship has sunk.
I just feel like there are some people in this world whose like relationship goals were Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis.
And
like,
they're rethinking everything.
And, no, and I'm thinking of those people because it can be a real shock to your system when like the belief system you built like on love is like surrounded on like this one relationship and then it's over. You know?
I know. And like there are a few couples where it's like I'm worried if something ever happens to them because for the people who have like invested so much in them.
No, and it's
emotionally.
Like, and it's like if these certain couples break up, like love isn't real, you know?
For some people,
yes, of course. But I feel like this might have been like a real goals couple for like a lot of like Pinterest like users. And I'm just, if you're one of them, I'm hoping that you're okay. And I'm just checking in on you.
Yes. Well, the split happened at the beginning of the year. A source close to the couple tells People. It's been amicable and they've transitioned into a great co-parenting routine. The children are the priority and the heart of the family's relationship. Well, that's actually really nice for them that they, you know, broke up in the beginning of the year. They figured it all out. Mm-hmm. They're definitely like in the better place now. And now they're releasing the news and like they had all this time and space to be able to do that.
Do you think that this was a quarantine like result or like maybe they're just weren't beshared?
Well, when I hear beginning of the year, like I think January through March, right?
Yeah.
So that would
I guess that was not quarantine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just still really surprised.
Yeah, it's surprising. They're like mad cute and I don't know, but then I also just feel like it's what's best, clearly. Yeah. You know, it's not like they didn't give it
their
the
all.
Old college try.
Yeah, I just feel like everything celebrities do these days is just so predictable. So when there's a story that like legitimately like surprises me and like catches me off guard, I'm like shook by that feeling, you know?
Yeah. And when there's a couple that has managed to keep their breakup out of the spotlight mm-hmm. for, let's say, 6 months,
it's
also
a big
surprising.
Deal. Totally.
Yeah. Good for them, honestly.
Yeah. I feel like he's not my type, but like feel like people are obsessed with Jason Sudeikis. He gives me Justin Timberlake vibes. Just
no, don't sully his name. Like
no,
that.
I'm just saying looks wise, which is like not my type. But I feel like there's a lot of, you know, single women who are like really excited about this. You know,
that's true,
and I'm happy for them. I'm not one of them. But I'm really happy for you guys.
I don't associate him with the Justin Timberlakes of the world.
Oh, that's so funny.
And
I
also
I do.
For me, like because he's funny, like he goes into like funny guy category.
And that automatically makes you more handsome.
Yeah, and that's a great like bin to be in.
Yeah, it's like the Vince Vaughn bin.
Yeah, the Jason Segel bin.
Oh,
he
love...
is in that bin for me.
Where is he?
I don't know. He needs to come.
Where are you?
Wherever you are. We miss you.
We miss you. Like you just, I feel like he made so much money with How I Met Your Mother and like then his iconic movies, like he's just like doesn't need to work, but he doesn't know like the Jason Segel stans are like so waiting with bated breath. And if you could just like do something for us, like it would mean a lot.
It would mean a lot. Like we could really use that right now.
What do you think? What was his last actual like working job?
Well, you know, there's one way to find out.
IMDb, literally my best friend. And I recently found out that I've been paying IMDb Pro $21 a month for like a year. I don't even remember signing up for it. You sign up through your Amazon and I'm like so upset about it.
Okay, so he's currently filming a movie called The Sky Is Everywhere.
Oh, that doesn't sound funny.
No, and he plays a character named Big.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, that sounds like he's trying too hard.
Before that, in 2020, he was in the Princess Bride TV series short. I feel like we reported on that it was coming, and I guess it came.
Don't remember.
Before that, he was in Dispatches from Elsewhere. Again.
Hey, maybe I'm not a Jason Segel fan. I've never heard of these.
Our Friend. Before that, Come Sunday. Before that, The Discovery. Before that, The End of the Tour. He played David Foster Wallace. Is that author?
Yeah, I'm like, it's not David Foster.
No, I didn't think it was.
You know, he wrote that poem about telephone poles.
Before that was the travesty called Sex Tape.
Oh, that was a travesty. Yeah.
So that really was like his last work that we would know.
Got it. Okay. Well.
Okay, he's due for a comeback.
It's time. I just feel like he doesn't care. Like, he's so rich.
I know, but you know, like, if he's an artist, like, the art.
Of course.
It would compel him.
No, artists are so compelling.
And they're compelled.
Compelled to do so. Art. Right. No, yeah. I hear that.
They don't just like make art for the profit.
Some of us do.
No, but then that's not real art, you know.
Oh, you know what? I beg to disagree. I beg to differ. Sorry.
You really want to disagree?
Yeah, no, I'm begging you. Please disagree with me. No, I'm over this whole narrative where it's like, if you want to make money, like you can't be good at your job. Like, why can't you want both?
Oh my God, no, that's really not what I said. And I was just like speaking on behalf of artists. I really wasn't like trying to start with you.
Yeah, no, I actually, as I was falling asleep last night, I was having this like argument in my head. Do you ever like, maybe I'm such
just
an,
like go through all my arguments point by point?
Kind of, but do you ever like, I go through my arguments, but I'm like, if I was ever invited on Joe Rogan, like, this is what I would say. And, like, I go through the interview, like, in my head about, like, all the good points I feel like I make that, like, I want to talk to Joe about. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Oh, like, okay.
And I don't know if that's just because we are who we are, but,
and,
like
we talk for a living.
I feel like people just, like, talk to themselves in their heads. Like, my whole day is just, like, conversations with myself that I never have. Actually, that was a point that we made from one of our books in The Redheads. It was, like, it was actually not a terrible book, but it was a little above our
pay grade.
But it was from Glass Hotel. She was like, had a long lost friend or relative or something that she had argued with in her head so many times. So that right. By the time they got to the point of the conversation, it was like so easy because she had said everything a million times.
That's funny.
You know what I mean? So yeah. That's what I feel like it is. Like, even if it's just like a friend or something, you're always just like going over your points in your head.
Oh, and I'm the queen of like going over points in my head 700 times. And then like when it comes to the conversation, I'm like,
I love you, say. I didn't mean it.
No, literally. Like, I'm the worst. People just assume that because I'm like really like extroverted and like chubby that I'm like, I like live for confrontation.
Chubby.
And I fucking hate confrontation. Like, I'm actually like, I'm so conflict averse. Like, I will do anything like not to have an uncomfortable conversation. But people are always trying to start with me because they just think it's like what I want, you know, because I give off that energy.
Or maybe people are trying to start with you because like they have something to say to you.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Damn. Okay. Well, condolences to
the Sudeikis wild family.
Wild stands. And also, now there are two interesting A-list people back on the market. Look forward to seeing what they do next.
Wait, actually, just one more thing about this. Who did you think of when you heard that these people broke up? Like, do you have like a friend who's their go-to couple is like Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde?
Well, no, but we have a friend who for some reason just reminds me of Jason Sudeikis.
Who?
Well, I know what the reason is. Kristen. and Pete.
They do?
Yeah, just, I like, it's a long story, but they just remind me of Jason Sudeikis.
I, like, immediately thought of my friend Abe, who's, like, obsessed with Jason Sudeikis and, like, thinks Olivia Wilde's, like, the hottest girl who ever walked the earth.
Oh.
And I'm, like, I'm worried about him today.
This
I'm going to have to call
to
him.
Abe.
I'm going to have to call him today just to, like, check in. Check in on your friends, like, who are stanning Olivia Wilde because they're not okay.
Yeah, and also just check in on your friends.
Period, yeah. Please check in on me.
Next up, speaking of some relationship news, Taylor Swift says Joe Alwyn absolutely understands how fame affects their privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift and boyfriend Joe Alwyn's lack of privacy in their relationship was the inspiration behind one of her new songs, and it happens to be Claudia Ashrae's favorite song from the new album, Peace. Yes.
Is this from the interview with the Paul McCartney cover?
Rolling Stone, Paul McCartney.
Okay, first of all, if you haven't listened to Peace by Taylor Swift, I know it's like, if you hate Taylor Swift, you think you're cool, just listen to the song, like, it'll make you cool.
The songstress told Paul McCartney in their new cover story for Rolling Stone that the effort she made to give her current beau a sense of normalcy was a challenge she worked to overcome. Peace is actually more rooted in my personal life, she said to McCartney. I know you have done a really excellent job of this in your personal life, carving out a human life within a public life, and how scary that can be when you do fall in love and you meet someone, especially if you met someone who has a very grounded, normal way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Without outright naming Joe, Swift discussed the tune Peace in the context of the relationship she's in now. They have been linked since spring 2017 and are notoriously private.
Well, I guess it's been 3 years now since they've been together. I, like, forget that she has a boyfriend because they're so private.
Yeah. But we always knew Peace was about just that.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to get confirmation on the theories.
Oh, yeah. And it's actually, like, the premise of the song is actually really sweet. Like, I'm sure being Taylor Swift's boyfriend has, like, amazing benefits, like the planes and all that stuff. But it's got to be quite difficult sometimes. And I feel like that song that she wrote is, like, so beautiful. It's like an apology. Like, sorry, my life is so messy. But then it's like, even if she was a regular girl, like, everyone's life.
Everyone.
No one has peace.
There's always ups and downs.
Yeah. But I actually really liked the concept that Rolling Stone did with those covers. There was, like, three different covers with three, like, kind of new contemporary and, like, older musicians, like, banded together. And, you know, I saw Paul McCartney at dinner, like, 2 weeks ago.
Did you say hi?
No. He is so old. Like, he's so old looking. I don't know how old he is in real life, but...
Well, there's one way to find out, Claudia.
Oh, my God. Jackie, like, gets an iPad once. Like,
I know, because everyone's like, hold on. He is 78.
Yeah, I was getting more, like, 88 vibes.
Okay, that's always what you want
to
hear.
Yeah, no, he was really giving me, like... Remember when we used to go to the country club in Florida with our grandparents?
Yes.
Like, everyone was a raisin. Like, that was the vibe.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Well, next story. Some interesting news.
Oh, wait, sorry. Is it the next story brought to you by Lovebook?
Oh my God, yes, actually it is. It really is.
What are the odds?
Right in the nick of time.
Lovebook is a personalized gift that helps people express feelings that might be difficult to say out loud. Most customers use a Lovebook to revisit their fondest memories or to list the reasons why they love someone. Lovebooks are completely customizable and people can use them to share whatever they want. If you want to share an example to someone of, like, how much they mean to you, you want to put photos, write poems. It's, like, such a really unique gift, and I feel like for the holiday season, certain people, like, they're actual people, like, who material items, like, are so much less important than, like, knowing that they're loved and having more, like, special gifts. And a Lovebook is one of the things I always get DMs about. What was the Lovebook code? What was the Lovebook code? Pay attention, please. You guys can create characters that look just like you or the recipient, someone in your family, with all the different features that make them unique. And then you can even choose their hairstyle. Like, you can get really specific. And customers have the option to personalize each page as much as they like. But they also have an express option where you can create a book in, like, a minute. Like, it takes super fast if you're in a rush. Lovebooks are the perfect gift for any occasion, but especially for anniversaries, birthdays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. If you've been looking to get something special for someone really important in your life, this is, like, a really, just really special, unique gift. And you can go to lovebookonline.com/toast to receive a special 20% discount for just the toaster. So lovebookonline.com/toast to receive a special 20% discount. It's really unique. It's really special. You can customize it, like, down to every detail, or you can use the custom express order and get it done in just a few minutes. But I really feel like it's fabulous. And people are always asking about the code.
It's such a special gift to give someone that you love who treasures, like,
sentimental items.
Gifts. Yeah. And I couldn't recommend it highly
Me
enough.
Me too. Lovebookonline.com/toast.
You know who would love a Lovebook?
Who?
Khloe Kardashian.
Actually, she would.
She 100% would. And she's moving out of her magical Calabasas home. Bye bye, beautiful.
This is crazy.
This is crazy because she has lived there for a really long time. I feel like a lot of the other sisters have moved around a lot, but she has lived there for a while.
And didn't she just renovate it? Remember, she had to rent because she was renovating
it? Oh, very, very true.
And she just had the home edit come into her garage. Like, what was the point?
I mean, who knows? I'll be so curious to see where she moves next. But the home sold for $15.5 million, dollars, which is more than double the $7.2 million she paid for it 6 years ago.
Wow, what? Look at this investing queen.
Also, this home is so rich in history. It used to belong to Justin Bieber before her. And then before that, it was belonged to the ex-wife of Eddie Murphy, Nicole Murphy.
Wow.
I just feel like this home has really good vibes energy. And I feel like every time we've seen it on the show, I love Chloe's decorating style. And I feel like that's also why it sold for a lot, like with all of the furniture. Like, look at this fire pit. We've seen it on the show, but like, doesn't that just look like a dream?
No, Chloe's furniture and design aesthetic is like oversized luxury, oversized comfort. Like, every chair is enormous. Every couch is enormous. Her bed is fucking huge. Like, if I was like super, super rich, like, I would have Chloe's, like, everything. Like, I would buy everything that she has.
100%.
Also, like, the fact that we saw her bedroom so much in this most recent season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and the fact that she has a living room in her bedroom with like big chairs and a fireplace, like, was just nuts.
Nuts. Interesting real estate factoid is that the estate now holds the record for the highest price per square foot of any home ever sold in Calabasas.
Wow, look at Chloe. I'm so shook.
I know. And I really feel like it has to do with what we've been saying about her style of home. Like,
and all the renovations she did.
Yeah, just like, who wouldn't want to move into that beautiful, beautiful house?
And I feel like homes that have like rich celebrity history, like in Calabasas, like always just go.
Yeah.
Like, what like non-famous rich person like doesn't want to live in Khloe Kardashian's house?
No, I have no clue.
Like, I would invite all my friends over and like sniff the sheets. Like,
totally.
Guys, this is where Khloe farted. Like, let's sniff it.
Sniff, sniff.
Wait, this, I just like, I don't know why I find this so interesting.
No, me too. And I also can't help but think about where she's going to be moving.
I feel like she's like moving down the block.
For sure, but like maybe an even bigger, crazier, more beautiful home if possible.
You know what I actually found really interesting on this most recent episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians when they did the drive-by for Kourtney's birthday party? How like Kourtney, and I thought this before, they only show Kourtney's home from the back, but when they do the drone and they go above the house, you can see she actually lives really, really close to her neighbors. Like, there was a home right across the street and on either side, which I just found shocking because I feel like they live on like estates and I feel like their plots of land are really big, but there's like, it's like a cul-de-sac. There's like a house next to her.
That is interesting. In the drive-by party, it did look like, you know, with Sierra
Lane. Boca Raton, yeah.
But from the back, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, I just found that interesting. Like, Kourtney Kardashian has like neighbors who like legit live a stone's throw away.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, just not what I expected.
Oh, so you know
what? Kim doesn't have neighbors.
You know what else is interesting? Oh my God, Kim.
And I don't think Chris does either because she has that long driveway. Like, they actually, you know, they really pulled a fast one on us with Kris Jenner's home.
Yeah, they show us a different house.
They don't show us the outside anymore, but they used to show us that, like, brown house, which was, like, not even remotely it. I don't even think that house is, like, in California. Like, it was just so not it. And then I feel like they made it seem like she moved, but her house, her kitchen looks the same.
Yeah, but she then keeps also renovating where she's been filming, like, these quarantine scenes, it feels like it's almost like a guest house.
Yeah, and it's so, like, airy. Oh, that's a totally different house. You're right, you're right. She definitely did move because she did Architectural Digest, and that was, like, not even, that was not the checkered floors.
Right, but then someone actually, like, sent me this picture from Rob's profile where he was in the checkered floored two staircase. Like, people think maybe he maybe moved in
into
there.
Into that house.
There's something.
They definitely didn't sell that house. It's like, I feel like they really regret selling their original home, like that ranch.
Oh, for sure.
Because that's like a piece of pop culture history. And now the second home with the checkered floors where Jennifer Lawrence came, you know, like that's a piece of pop culture history too. And I don't think they should or would ever sell it.
Yeah.
But I don't think Chris lives there full time.
But now I'm saying, like, allegedly, perhaps there's a chance that Rob's living there.
Yeah. And with the quarantine stuff, Kim and the kids like walked across the street to Chris's house, remember, to get Cheetos?
Yeah.
So I feel like whatever neighborhood Kim is in, Chris is in too.
Yeah.
Which is like the richer, richer part of like Hidden Hills, Calabasas. I think Chloe and Kourtney live really, really close to each other because they both have neighbors, which Kim and Chris do not. And I have no idea where Kylie lives because we like never. Oh, she and just she moved just, into that.
She just got her new
the
house.
The Fortress.
Yeah.
Is that in Calabasas? No, it's like, it was in the valley.
Was
like,
it?
Yeah, it was like out. It was like, that's why we spoke about it. It was like 30 minutes out of Calabasas.
Interesting.
Yeah. But Kylie's like a woman of,
she does her own thing.
And she's also like out on the town constantly. Like, her living an hour away, like up north from like the life of Hollywood,
the life of Kylie,
it doesn't work for a 22-year-old. But for Kim, who's 40, like, it's lovely.
Lovely.
And who has a million kids.
Exactly.
I could talk about Kardashian real estate like all day. Like, remember that house that Rob and Chyna were living in that, like, Chris bought for them?
Yeah.
That was such a weird time in pop culture. Like,
it was.
When Chris was just, like, trying hard to, like, make it all work.
I mean, that's what she does.
That's what she does.
Okay, in next story, some exciting happy couple news that also is just, like, a marker of time.
Okay.
Love is Blind's Lauren Speed and Cameron Hamilton and Amber and Barnett are celebrating their second wedding anniversaries.
Okay. Did anyone else feel like we watched Love is Blind in quarantine? Like,
we watched it the week before quarantine, literally, because when Cameron and Lauren came on our show, it was like in March. It was, and I remember, like, we were, when but they came to the studio. But then how would it be
2 years?
Because, oh, because they filmed a year before it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That makes more sense, because I'm thinking, I'm like, this show did not air 2 years ago, but it filmed two years ago.
It filmed 2 years ago. They got married 2 years ago. So it's just, like, really interesting. And we have two happy couples celebrating wedding anniversaries.
I mean, Lauren and Cameron are, like, the least surprising thing ever. Like, they're so meant to be true love. But I did not have high hopes for Amber and Barnett. Like, I thought that they would fizzle out quite fast. And they're actually very cute.
Yeah, they are very cute. All four of them are. And you would think, like, being in a new relationship is hard, especially when you met on a reality show and there are so many things that even after you've gotten married, like, you need to work out with your partner. Plus, like, 1 year into marriage, you go into quarantine together. Like, that is just so crazy. But I'm glad to see that all of these couples are doing so well.
No, it makes me really happy, too. Are there any couples from Too Hot to Handle? No.
No, because I think the only ones
who Francesca.
Francesca and Harry, but they're definitely not together.
They're just not together. So this is just really shocking. I actually loved Love is Blind. I thought it was, like, such an interesting premise for a reality show. It was also, like, cringy and amazing, which is what makes it great. But I also think, like, the experiment behind it was actually interesting. Like, is love blind?
Interesting human experiment.
And I think it is.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can be.
I'm really happy for them. Actually, you know, Amber came up on my TikTok For You page. She was going off. Like, she replied to this comment because someone was like, aren't you the girl whose, like, husband had to bail her out of, like, student loan debt? And she just, like, went off on, like, how she got herself into debt. And, like, Barnett has debts, too. And, like, she's since paid it off by herself. And, like, fuck off. Like, I'm sure that's, like, the one comment she gets. Like, people are always like to me, like, why don't you wear your say yes to the dress for your wedding? And I'm sure, like, for her, it's, like, 10 times worse. And, like, that's what she always gets. Like, did you ever pay off, like, your $700 Ulta bill? Like,
right. That's literally what it was.
That's probably what she gets, like, all the time. And it's 2 years now. It's like, fuck off. Like,
yeah.
And so I actually really loved her response. She went off on this TikTok, but it's probably annoying as fuck.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, everyone in America has debt. Get over it.
Get over it. Yeah, so I just think that's really interesting news. 2 years married for these couples.
It is an interesting marker of time.
That's exactly what it is. And our fifth and final story is your daily Nathan Apodaca update.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. What happened now?
The viral dream skateboarder has 320,000 reasons to smile because he has a new home that he paid $320,000 in cash for.
Wow.
It's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom crib in Idaho Falls.
Wow, 5 bedrooms in Idaho for $320,000?
It's a dream. It's we gotta move.
We gotta move.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Every time I hear an update on this guy, I fall more and more in love with him. And I think he's literally turning into America's sweetheart. Like, I don't know. I just, someone who rises to fame so quickly, makes, like, a lot of money really quickly and doesn't just, like, move to LA and, like, start dating Instagram models. Like, I don't know. It's just so rare.
Yeah.
So the fact that, like, he literally got so famous, like, proposed to his longtime girlfriend and, like, bought a house in his hometown. Like, we have absolutely no choice but to stan this role model. Like,
we have no choice but to stan. This is so beautiful. Like, this is just the definition of a story that keeps getting better.
This is the American dream.
It really, really is. And it's like the
going viral.
It's the 2020 American dream.
100%. And like, he's really, really famous. I saw him he shot a commercial with Snoop Dogg. Like, he's really getting up there. He's going to be in a Super Bowl commercial. 100%. For who? I'm not sure yet.
Ocean Spray.
Oh, duh. Oh my God. That'll be good. And if they don't make, like, if they don't take the opportunity, like, Ocean Spray, like, I'll be really disappointed.
Yeah, and if they don't, then, like, I don't know, Minute Maid should.
And can I tell you what I learned about Ocean Spray? I think someone posted it in one of the Toast Facebook groups and why it's, like, so wonderful that, like, this viral moment happened for Ocean Spray. Because, yes, Ocean Spray is, like, this big corporation, but it's actually, like, the biggest coalition of farmers, like, in the country. So it's, like, the company's made up of 700 like family owned farms and like the board, I don't know how it works, but it's like, it's not a typical corporation. Like, it's actually like a farmers coalition and like, it's just.
And they all send in their cranberries?
Something like that, you know, and they all like run the company together.
That's
I'm not entirely sure how it
Claudia,
works.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, it's not corporate greed. Like, the farmers are winning.
Yeah.
And we love to see farmers winning.
We love to see farmers winning.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Happy for them.
Anyways, that's your latest update on Nathan Apodaca.
And just, we promise to never stop updating you, because I'm just, until like he doesn't become relevant, like I will be talking about him forever. I'm just
no, and I just, we need to thank TMZ for constantly giving us these updates. It's always TMZ who's like, with your latest Nathan Apodaca
tea. A random tidbit of information.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I just, I hope that he stays famous forever and like just keeps on winning.
100%. That's all you can hope for someone.
So we have a Real Housewives of Potomac recap, which.
Yes.
They have been teasing, you know, Ashley telling Candace about the statement for 2 weeks now, and we still didn't get
it. And we still didn't get the statement.
So frustrating. We'll get into it. Our TV recap segment is brought to you by Jenny Kane. Jenny Kane's secret to an effortless and elevated home and wardrobe is timeless classics and inviting neutrals that focus on comfort without sacrificing style. Jackie and I both received pieces from Jenny Kane. First of all, the packaging was just elite. Like, it really felt like you were opening up like a Christmas miracle. I got this amazing cardigan, so soft, so flattering, so cute. And cardigans are so in right now, thanks Taylor Swift.
For sure. I got an amazing white sweater, which I'm just like, am feeling is my vibe. Like, I love a winter white. Yeah. And the quality of the sweater is like so delicious and creamy, and I cannot wait to wear it.
And it's getting so cold that like you really need statement pieces
that are going to keep you warm.
That are going to keep you warm. Jenny Kane believes in creating everyday pieces that are made to last forever. Polished basics and home pieces that will never go out of style. We never go out of. From wardrobe essentials to everything that make you feel makes your face sorry from wardrobe essentials to everything that makes your space feel like home, these are timeless pieces that everyone will love. Curated staples for looking and feeling your best no matter the occasion. You might already have a favorite cashmere sweater or well-worn pair of boots, but if it doesn't make you say I'll never take this off, it isn't Jenny Kane. They have tons of signature pieces, mules, The Chelsea and Canyon boots that come in leather, suede, oiled leather, and shearling, and their fisherman and cocoon, cashmere, and cotton pieces. Jenny Kane is everything of the sort, perfect for a gift, but also, like we were just saying, treat yourself. Like, get yourself a nice cashmere sweater for the holiday season. Like, you deserve it. You've had a hard year. Find your forever pieces at JennyKane.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code TOAST at checkout. So that's JennyKane.com, promo code TOAST. Check it out. Holiday season, as they say, as Gia Giudice says, it's a season of joy, joy.
Sign on, never go out of style.
Works for me.
With Jenny Kane.
Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac. So this trip actually looks super fun. Mm-hmm. And I really was getting annoyed that, like, I knew we weren't going to get that black latex moment between Candace. Fuck you, Ashley. Fuck you. Like, I can't believe how long they've been teasing it. I was at, like, the 45-minute mark, and I'm like, it hasn't happened yet. Like,
yeah, and it's not going to happen.
We didn't even get to that party.
Yeah. There was a lot of, like, stuff leading up. There was also, like, a lot, I realized, of, like, scenery. Like, they're doing, like, so much. They're just,
sightseeing.
Like, no, not even that. Like, where, you know, they usually, like, do a drone over Portugal, and then we zoom in to the women. There's just, like, so much. Like
B-roll,
exactly. Which it's like, it's nice to see Portugal, but I do feel like they're dragging out this conversation.
Yes, 100%.
And just two things that happened this episode that made me take note. And they happened at the end of the episode.
Okay.
One, Robin and the hats and the modeling and the leaving Karen out when, like, Karen's photos were no better or worse than anyone else's.
When they put them up on the screen, I'm like, what am I missing? These hats are ugly, but the photo's fine.
The photo's fine. The one where she was turned to the side, like, against the wall, like, perfectly fine. Like, the fact that she can't have it on her website and that next week, like, Karen's going to have to, like, be like, where's my photo?
Embarrassed, yeah.
It was, like, so cruel, I thought.
I agree. And, like, Robin, like, that's what you're contributing to the season. Like, you've literally been mute all season, so irrelevant. And now you're going to start drama with Karen over a hat where, like, literally you're making such a mountain out of a molehill. Like, there was nothing wrong with that picture.
There was nothing wrong with that picture. There was nothing so spectacular about the other girls' photos that, like, Karen's wouldn't fit in with theirs. I thought it was, like, mean girl, so mean.
Going out of your way.
Going out of their way to be mean, and, like, Giselle being like, well, it's because, like, she's not hip. Like, neither of
those
hats. Giselle,
you're truly one to... Neither are those hats. No, Giselle is really,
like,
Giselle has incredible chutzpah to talk about anyone else's style, because the ponytail that she was wearing all episode was horrible, and that dress.
No, it gets worse every single episode. Like, it really does. There have been some really funny memes. Like, I guess, like, I now we're all just, like, talking about
Giselle's... No, the Giselle's Potomac audience has really just openly embraced...
on Giselle's terrible style choices. And I actually want to support Robin in this venture, because... I want her to be successful.
Me too.
Like, she's been through a lot. But it just really rubbed me the wrong way. And then in her confessional, she's like, I really don't want to like do this to Karen. It's like, so then don't do it.
It's so contrived.
It's not like the photo was so bad, like where they're all blurry.
Like she's like,
or like the screen, the lens cracked. Like,
no, it's fine. It's a standard picture. The hats are ugly. Like none of the other photos were that great. Like we're really getting specific here. She's going out of her way to make it seem like this photo is so much worse. There was nothing there. She's being mean to Karen. And I now find myself being so incredibly defensive of Miss Karen Huger. Like, I stand till the day I die. The only thing I didn't agree with her on this episode was constantly bringing up Juan proposing, because if Giselle's giving her the heads up, like, shut the fuck up, there's like something going on, like, that you don't need to know, but just like stop bringing it up. A good friend knows, like, not to bring it up.
Well, I don't think she brings it up again after that. Don't think she knew what she was doing before, but I also like couldn't keep up with what people knew and what people didn't know, and also like I just don't care about
it. Yeah, no, I know. I agree, though. The hat thing was, like, really going out of your way to be mean.
Like, really, really mean.
Now, I'm also, it's crazy how most of the time I'm, like, very steadfast in my housewife beliefs. Like, if I love you, I love you. Even if you wrong me, like, I'll still love you. But I think this has been, like, a really transitional season for me. And when I think about how far I've come, like, at the beginning of Potomac, I literally hated Ashley Darby and I fucking hated Karen Huger so much. And I really, like, Dan Giselle, and I low-key like loved Candace, and now I am so turned, like it's literally the opposite. Like I think Ashley Darby is one of the best housewives ever. Like she really lays it out. She's always involved in the drama, but she's always knows how to like move past it. Like I just think she's amazing, and I think Karen Huger is like so wise. Like I really like want to nestle my like face in her neck and just like go to sleep. Like I just really like trust her, and I can't stand Giselle. I think she's like actually one of the meanest girls I've ever met in my life, and cannot stand Candace for obvious reasons.
I completely agree, and I pretty much agree with you, because in the beginning like I was totally team Giselle and now I'm totally not, but I've always really liked Ashley. I've always thought she contributed so much to the show, and now just seeing her like in this new role where she's like kind of wiser and more
she's
compassionate
very wise.
And empathetic. Like, I'm just like, I love this for her.
And I love to see the growth. She's younger than everyone. So she like, her and Candace like both kind of have like a little bit more growing up to do. And I feel like the Ashley Darby we know now is like so much more mature than the Ashley Darby we knew like 5 years ago. And I just am loving her journey. I love growth. I think we are all entitled to it. And like, I love to see it.
I do as well. So that brings me to the second critical thing that happened in this episode, which was the Ashley, Giselle, and Robin sitting by the pool, Ashley telling them
about
that she wrote a character statement. And I just thought this scene like was just so telling. Like, first of all, Giselle and Robin, like, really, they were like so shook by it because they really thought that they were going to get rid of Monique with this. Like, they were so here, like, cheering on
even the fight,
cheering on Candace taking down Monique. Like, just how dare she? Like, just making it so much of a bigger deal
than
it is.
And, like, taking such a moral high ground.
Such a moral high ground, and, like, just not even associating with Monique. But, like, now Monique is fighting back, which she has every right to do. And they're, like, watching how it's going to turn, like, swing the other way. And they're like, how could you? What do you mean, how could you? She's just saying, like, what her experience has been. Also, when Robin was like, well, why couldn't you just write a statement for Monique saying that Monique is a good friend and a good mom? Like, the courts don't care what your friend thinks about you.
No, and that's not what they asked for. Like,
no,
that's
like,
why.
Because that wouldn't do anything. That wouldn't help Monique.
Literally, like, I wasn't surprised by Robin and Giselle's reaction, because they're just, like, so steadfast in their support for Candace.
No, but it was just, like, so interesting to watch them, like, so
shook.
So shook because they're so here for Candace, like, coming for Monique in every way. And, like, really to the point where Monique will end up off the show. Which is what they always wanted.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, it's tough for her to, like, remain relevant when, like, she's literally not on the trip. But I actually don't think that she will be off the show.
I don't think so either. And even though she's not on the trip, like, is she getting paid for these episodes?
I don't know.
She has, like, I think you...
You get paid per episode. And the assumption is that everyone's in every episode.
Right. I think she might still be getting paid for them to talk about her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where we're going to go with casting after this. I don't think we could really ever have a season again with both Candace and Monique. I don't think Monique's going anywhere. Like, I don't know if that's crazy. I actually think Candace has a higher chance of getting fired than Monique does.
I totally agree.
And a lot of the Bravo fans are really upset with Candace. Candace is her own worst enemy because she might, in certain scenarios, like have, you know, some ground to stand on when it comes to like arguments with some of the ladies. But what she pulls on social media is so childish and is so sophomoric. Like, she gets herself into so much trouble. Like, even when every time they repopulate those tweets she sent about Ashley, like bed wench, like saying the most evil things, like she's her own worst enemy. And now she's under fire because I sent you this video. I don't know if you watched it. She did an Instagram live, like talking shit about this Bravo like blogger who like blogs a lot about Potomac. I had never heard of him. Basically like saying such evil things, like I hope he drops dead, his heart fails, like clogged arteries. And literally very recently he actually passed away.
What?
So this video is going around of her like right before he died, like saying awful things about how she wished she'd like, just like a blogger, like a fan of the show, like nothing crazy. Like, she's just going after him. And it actually turns out that he passed away recently. Like, I went down this rabbit hole on TikTok. God. You know, really scary.
So, that's like a horrible story.
So she's just her own worst enemy. Because yes, technically Monique was the aggressor in the fight. Yes.
But also it's like what you do on the show, you can always make the argument that like it's for the show.
Editing.
You know, no, and like that, yeah, you know, I got loud or this or that, yeah. But like we're on a show, like that's what we're here to do. But when you take it to those sorts of levels, yeah, off the show, you have absolutely like no defense recourse, and it's just you like showing
your true colors,
yeah, on another level.
Yeah, no, she says the most horrible things on social media, and like I kind of am with Ashley. Like, I know we're on a show and like we were supposed to move past this, but I'm actually still really upset about all the mean things you said about me. Like, sorry I haven't moved past it, but I tried.
No, 100%. And also it's so funny because so much of Candace's like storyline this season is like, not only did Monique do what she did, but like then she was on Instagram like, you know, giving emojis to people,
right.
It's like she did emojis.
No, like, you're literally so much worse. Like, yeah. Look in the mirror. And I just really felt Ashley when it's like, you know, Candace doesn't care about what anyone's going through. And then it's like, Candace is like, I want to have a baby. And everyone's supposed to be like, yay, this is great, we'll be there for you. When it's like, you just say awful things about everyone anytime they open up about anything. So it's like, we're just supposed to be like, turn around and be happy for you?
No, also, Ashley and Candace had like buried part of their hatchet for sure, but they never really discussed like the way that Candace came for Ashley when she was starting her motherhood journey. Like, even though, yes, they've gotten past some of their issues, like what Ashley was bringing up that last night at dinner was like all new stuff that really ground that hadn't been covered yet. So yes, I didn't feel like she was going back over it. I actually thought she made really poignant points. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Oh, so now you know, like now you are exactly where I was last year. And imagine if I wasn't supporting you, and I want to support you because like,
that's I'm a nice person.
Right. But like, just see how it feels. Also, yeah. Candace, like every time when she's like, you know, when she said something this last night where it was like, after the trauma with Monique, like I didn't know if I would like something about like still wanting to be a mom. And it's like, are you like,
no,
the more dramatic she makes it, like the less I'm on her side.
And I think the less, like, I just don't believe anything she says anymore. It's like, literally it's been 3 seasons of like, I'm going to get a dog, I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to really sing a song. It's like, come up with some new stuff. Like,
no, I totally agree. Like, stop talking about it. Just be about
it. Do it. Yeah. Wow. She's not the most anointed one talking. Actually, like, I'm so over Giselle, but I love her.
I mean, word on the street.
Is that I'm the word on the street. I just, like, love her story, her taglines. And you know who's really been killing not only the confessional looks, but the confessional shade is Miss Karen Huger. Like,
always.
She's just a queen.
No, she's such a queen. So when she's disrespected, it really like
it hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah, and she's, you know, she's the oldest one in the group, and like, and nobody respects her.
But that means something like to me.
100%.
You know, and it's she doesn't get any respect, let alone the respect that she deserves. And when that happens, like, it really does bother me. And so next week with the hats and the website, like, I'm ready.
I really hope she says like, I don't care. Like, it's really not a big deal.
No, I hope she says like, oh, I don't care because your hats are hideous and I was just trying to be a good friend to you, but never mind that.
Yeah, on to the next one. I just really hope she doesn't like make Robin think like Robin, like,
I think,
no, Robin has this like, or she has her website and like she thinks that there's like power there and like she's wielding it like, I'm gonna let you in on the website. Oh no, I'm not. And it's like, I just want her to know like nobody cares.
I hope Karen plays it that way, but I know that Karen will be hurt.
Of course.
But I hope that she, like, but then also it's like with the housewives sometimes, like, the bigger the victim you are, like, the more you get, like, sympathy. So,
yeah.
Oh, if she, like, you know, says to Robin, like, you hurt my feelings, then all of a sudden, like, everyone's on Karen's side. So,
also, the only other thing I wanted to say is I usually think those, like, pre-planned pranks are so stupid, but I was actually hysterically laughing when Wendy pulled up her covers and the snakes were there. Like, that was very genuine and very funny, and I loved them breaking the fourth wall and showing the girls watching on the monitor outside in the hallway.
Hysterical.
Very good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully next week we'll get the conversation between Candace and Ashley about the statement. I'm not sure, but I actually think, but I thought so last week, too.
Yeah, I don't know where else we could go without that conversation.
But other than that, it was a pretty good episode. And tonight there's nothing on, right?
I know, but then I can't believe I'm going to say this. Like, I miss Bachelor on Mondays. Like, I'm ready for it back.
Yeah, because then when it's on Tuesdays, then it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's so much.
The week is just, like, so ramped up.
Yeah, I agree. I think once Dancing with the Stars ends, Bachelorette will be moved back one day. I think that's how it works. I don't know.
Got it.
But I don't work in programming, so I'm not sure. That's all we got.
Well, anything else? That leaves space for us to watch The Crown tonight.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'll be doing upon arrival to my home. anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No, just like I love THEO. I love BRUNO. I love YOU.
Oh my God.
And I love all of you guys. Thanks for listening to The Morning Toast.
Jackie, are you on drugs? Are you okay?
No, I just
love you all so much.
I just want to be best friends forever.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart Theo is. We hope you have an amazing day. We will see you tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye.